You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Kim Grinnells of Dogman.com with Chris Fetter, Scott Eklund. Day 7, spring football 2024 on the shores of Lake Washington. And we were actually closer to the shore of Lake Washington where we were out on the East Practice Field, which if for those who don't know what that is, picture the zone where the zone was. And that's where practice was today. And we were kind of commenting on that because the first time we talked to Jed Fish this before, you know, right after the first practice, he said he did not like practicing inside the stadium. It was kind of hallowed, sacred ground, and he prefers to play, you know, practice on the other fields, but they're real limited on space here. But all of the practice was taking place today out in the East Field, Scott.
Yeah, that's how it was last week. I don't know, it was the week, day that you weren't here.
Okay.
I think it was last Tuesday. This might be a Tuesday thing where they have it on the thing, but or maybe it was Thursday. Anyway, whatever it was, you know, I thought it was okay. It wasn't great. It wasn't great. I prefer to be raised up like Chris does, where he sits up in the upper part and watches the East Field. But you know, it is what it is.
With a little bit more sun on the East Field, so it was a little bit warmer. But mm-hmm. The other thing, too, is, and Scott did a pretty good job of it today, is protecting me from those three eagles that seemed to be flying over the practice field. I was worried one of them was going to think I was a dog or something mm-hmm. and come down and get me and take me away.
Yeah, I mean, they were big. Big boys.
It's pretty cool to be out here and then you see the eagles just flying and you can just see them eyeballing out into Lake Washington. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty cool seeing it.
What's funny is the Arizona people that have come up with Jed Fish are like, what the heck is going on? Because they don't have that down there. They have more like buzzards probably.
Well, if they had come back in the day, they would have had to deal with goose poop.
Yeah.
So, 6 1/2 dozen of the other, as far as I'm concerned, although the goose, they won't tear your eyes out, and they won't attack you in a lethal way, maybe like an eagle could.
Yeah, the first half of practice, they pretty much lulled us to sleep because it was just drills and installs, and then we started to pick things up in the second half.
It was not pads today, so I think you could tell right away. You know, typically with pads practice, sometimes they'll even do a team period to really get the energy and the competitions flowing quickly, early. But they went right into like special teams, and then after that there was like an install period, and then there was some other stuff. But yeah, Kim, I think that's right. I think generally speaking, things kind of ramped up as we got on, and so by the end they would have called it live, but it's still like three-quarter thud tempo type. And you know, they did a little two-minute drill at the end, which I thought was good. Grady Gross, did he miss his first kick of spring today?
When he hit the upright?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, came back and made the second one to finish practice.
Won't mention any names, but I was watching one position group, and after about 5 minutes of just teaching, you know, a couple of them just seemed like, can we get this over with, you know, so play some football. But it's just part of spring ball, especially with a new coaching staff. You've got to learn the schemes, the terminology, mm-hmm. and what they want everybody to do.
Yeah, no, speaking of learning, Steve Bilichick, it was the first time I had really heard him be loud on the field, and it was Tristan Dunn had made a really good read on a play, came over and made a play, and
is that what the flag came out?
No, it did not.
Oh, okay.
It did not, but he was just, this was early on in practice, because Tristan Dunn also had an interception.
Pick, yeah.
That was a really nice read on his part as well, but he had a nice read, and you could hear Belichick from behind the play yelling, nice read, 12, nice read, 12. Now, part of me is just like, is he calling him 12 because he doesn't know his name?
I think that's pretty common in the NFL that they just go numbers
and stuff. Yeah, but it was a really nice play by done, and I think he had one of his better practices where I noticed him a lot more than I had noticed him before.
Maybe we should do that. Maybe we should just start calling guys by their numbers so that people have to have listen to our show with a roster.
Well, the problem problem with college is they have the same number on
that's what I'm saying
offense and defense. Yeah. So,
but they got their names on the back out here.
Yeah, that is true. That helps a lot.
Doesn't translate over on the radio much though.
Yeah. I had a chance to talk. I talked to Steve Belichick for a couple minutes, you know, before practice. And what was interesting was he was saying in the NFL, he said, "I could tell you what I was doing every single day for the rest of the year. I knew my schedule." He goes, "College football?" He goes, "It doesn't work like that." And we've talked about this before, Chris. When we're in the season, everything's pretty much structured and we attack our day. And when we get into this time of year with the portal and recruiting and everything, the day's attacking us.
Well, it's a little bit of both because we've got the structure with the schedule, but even like the very first practice of spring got changed. Yeah. So, but it's classic media hurry up and wait type stuff going on. So that there's always that factor. But you're right, because typically spring and fall camp for us, and especially during the season, those are our structured times. But the only problem with that is when you throw the portal into it, it's like taking your structure and literally just playing like three-card Monty with it. So it's like, oh, you think it's in this order? No. You're doing this one here, and you're doing the other one there. Oh, yeah, and tomorrow we're going to flip that around and do the exact opposite.
Another thing is, you guys know I've got this warped sense of humor, but the last week or so I've dealt with this quite a bit. You know, the new coach is all excited to get up here, and then they get up here, and then they start looking for housing. And they just can't even believe it. You know, when you talk to, you know, I talked to Danny Sprinkle a little bit, and coming from, where is it, Ogden, Utah, Logan. Coming up here, you know, prices are different, and these guys coming from Tucson, they're just shocked. One of the guys said that he didn't understand when looking at rental properties when they listed the price. That was just the starting bid on rental properties. So,
do they have more than two lane roads going into Logan?
Oh, God.
I mean, seriously, I don't know. I literally don't know.
Speaking of roads, you know, Danny told me that he was coming in at 6 o'clock in the morning and he didn't leave till 11 o'clock at night. And then later on, you know, I'm talking to him and he goes, "By the way, where's all this traffic everybody tells me about in Seattle?" I go, "Dude, you get here at 6 o'clock and leave at 11 o'clock. There is no traffic."
That'd be like Coach Pete. You know, going, "Where's the trip?" It's because you're on the water, dude.
Yeah, 520 doesn't look busy to me.
Yeah,
but I think highlight of the day, Scott, was special teams drill with Carson Bruner and Jonah Coleman.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that wasn't my highlight.
The highlight of the day would be the touchdown catch by Denzel Boston.
Oh, but, no. We've seen Denzel do that before, though.
Well, not like that.
Not like that.
Anyway, what you're referring to, though, is the special teams drill where one guy is expected to stay within the cones, so he's in the lane, and the other one is the blocker, and he's supposed to force him out of the lane. And I don't know how they judged who won, but the guys all seem to know who won.
It's a return team drill.
So Jonah Coleman won the drill. Bruner, and he did a round off front flip, and then show up Coleman's round off front flip, Carson Bruner did a standing back flip. That was impressive.
It was a little more than that. Jonah Coleman did a cartwheel and then turned it into a backflip.
Yeah, that's a round off.
Yeah, well,
that's not a round off.
I don't know if everybody knows what that is.
Don't you know your gymnastics?
No. You dated the gymnast, not me.
Okay. Well, anyway, but then Carson Bruner just stood there and did a backflip himself.
But to see a guy, because Jonah Coleman is 5'6", 5'7". Let's be real. Mm-hmm. He's 5'6", 5'7". And he's about 220 pounds of it, and I'd say 40% of that's right in his ass. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is a low rider, and to see him do that,
that was pretty impressive. They've even got
walk-on linebackers that are doing round-off backflips, like Logan Lishmanis. He did one when he won his drill. There were some where like the guy went down, and the guy who was supposed to be blocking him didn't even touch him. And those are the ones you got to be worried about.
I think the only one that would be more, I'd like to see Michael Watkins try that.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
He dunked a ball 320.
Well, you didn't think it would ever happen with Jonah Coleman either. So
I think the quote unquote skill guys are more likely to do that than linemen.
Yeah.
Especially when it's one of only eight healthy or one of only eight scholarship guys on the
But the play of the day again, Denzel Boston.
Yeah. So he's being covered down the east sideline of the which is the far sideline from the stadium. By Devon Banks. Devon Banks and him are kind of hand fighting.
I think there was even a safety over the top, but he was a couple yards behind.
Yeah, and they're hand fighting, and Devon Banks is holding his right hand, Denzel Boston's right hand. He sticks out his left hand, brings it in, and then rolls in for the touchdown, keeps his feet in and all that stuff. Now, where we were standing, you couldn't tell that he caught it until he sprung up with the ball.
Oh, I caught it. I saw it.
Yeah, but it was well, impressive.
I didn't know until the referee right there signaled touchdown.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because from my vantage point, again, I'm up in the stands because I need that third dimension. I can't being on the ground just doesn't work for me on those plays. But being up there, I mean, it was hard to tell what Banks was doing. It looked to me like he was just great coverage. Mm-hmm. And the only way that Boston could get it, and again, it was a throw, and it was Will Rogers who threw it.
Perfect.
The only way he could throw it, he threw it past him so that Banks couldn't get it, but the only way Boston could get it is if he literally just sold out.
Mm-hmm.
Denzel Boston, wide receiver one?
Oh, easy right now.
Coming out of camp, yeah. Easy. I mean, if camp ended today, yes. Well, keep it going. He's got to keep it going. He's playing really, really well, though, right now.
But, yeah, he's at a different level. Even I'd say he's at a different level even compared to Jeremiah Hunter. And I think Hunter has really come on big the last two or three practices.
Yeah, no, I'd say those two going into spring ball, I thought it would be Jeremiah Hunter first and then Denzel. But Denzel is – I think he's number one. But Jeremiah Hunter, don't count him out. But one thing that, you know, Hunter does – probably a little bit better than Boston, and Boston does it really well. Hunter just seems to be able to catch the ball in traffic. He's right up there. His ability to catch the ball in traffic is just right up there with Rome from what I've seen. He's just not as big.
Well, what Boston did with Banks, I mean, it's hard to top that. I mean, really hard. I haven't seen a play quite like that in a while. And, hopefully we're not underselling it because it was ridiculous how nice it was. And
let's hope UW shows that on their little.
I mean, they've only got like six cameras on that field. Yeah. So it's just awesome because what it shows you is it really shows the developmental piece. It shows what Coach Shepherd was doing. It shows that even though they had all those guys right in line with Rome and Jalen Polk and Jalen McMillan and all those, Denzel Boston was fighting him, I'm sure, tooth and nail the whole way. But it's that hard to get in front of three NFL guys.
Tell me if you guys agree with me or not, but the guy that I think from day one to day seven, practice one to practice seven, the guy who's just, I see, just continues to get better and better and better every day and shines every single day is Demond Williams, the quarterback.
He's getting better every day, as you would hope. I think Jed Fish and Jimmy Doherty would tell you flat out, they need him to get better every single practice because he is literally drinking water through a fire hose. Right now, he's the QB2, and it's not close. I mean, Will Rogers is your QB1. I mean, there's no doubt about that. He is going to be the number one starter.
You say drinking water through a fire hose, but I'm just kind of really impressed with his – he doesn't look phased at all back in the pocket. He doesn't have the nervous feet, even though he doesn't have any protection. He looks calm, cool, and collected back there to me.
I think the best way to describe it, Kim, at least as far as if a fan came out and watched that practice and watched Will Rogers work and then watched Demond Williams work, they would tell you that kid's not—he's not acting like a true freshman.
Mm-mm.
He's not scrambling around like he doesn't know
freshman,
what's going
on. Freshman, hell, he's a high school kid.
Right, but he's not, you know, creating situations where there are false starts. Or he's creating needless situations. Now, he did have one really, really big freshman mistake today. And that was the one where he thought he was throwing it out of bounds, and he threw it right to Tristan Dunn. And Tristan Dunn made a great play. He made a great play on it. But we've seen that in the past. I think, if I remember correctly, Dom Hampton had a pick this last season where it looked like, I don't remember if it was Washington State maybe, but it was one of those games where he was trying, or maybe it was Arizona State, but he was the quarterback was trying to throw it out of bounds, but made the mistake of not throwing it way out. And Hampton picked it off right on the sideline, and Dunn did a very similar thing today.
Jake Browning flashbacks?
Not really. Although there was one in the Peach Bowl with Will Anderson, but again he was getting harassed. Yeah. I mean, he was trying to throw that thing out of bounds, and he just couldn't do it.
He was being tackled.
Yeah, that was a little forced. So
we were down watching a drill with the running backs, and we were down on the field, Scott. So we had a little bit more up close and personal. Jonah Coleman, I thought, was as impressive as I've seen him, where they were trying to get a linebacker out there and they were trying to juke the linebackers, where a lot of guys were doing the stutter step. But Jonah Coleman, one cut, plant, and go. And I thought he was impressive.
He was. I thought Daniel Ngata also looked good. They were doing it also with the tight ends. It was basically just a swing pass. I'm trying to
figure out which one was one that basically just left the guy like for dead. Like he just stood there like,
That was Ngata.
Yeah. I mean, there was one where it was just like, he didn't even move. He's like, yep, you got me.
Yeah.
It's like, that's bad.
Yeah. But Jonah Coleman, I think, is starting to pick things up as well.
He is. You know, I mean, there's just only so much you can do. I mean, with an offensive line that's so patchwork. I mean, one of the themes we've had, and I wrote it about it in today's game wrap, or I'm sorry, practice wrap, is that the theme of practice so far has been the offensive line and its struggles. And the reason it's struggling is because they only have eight or nine scholarship guys. They only have, and four of those guys were out today. They weren't practicing. And so it was Pocky Finau, Kali Tafai, Guard Memelar, and Landon Hatchett. Those guys weren't even practicing. So Parker Cross was actually taking snaps with the first team. Which pushed Zach Henning over to left guard.
Well, let's put it a different way, guys. When they were doing their team periods, they could only do one team period at a time, because the first series would go, and then like if Damon Williams or Marmar Davis had the second series, they were doing it seven on seven. They were doing skeleton essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had no linemen on either side of the ball because they didn't have the numbers.
Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at newbalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, and it's going to be real important over the next couple of days just to keep an eye on the portal. Today was the first day the portal opened, but, you know, that's just kind of the curtain going up. But, you know, I expect tomorrow and Thursday to be real busy in the portal, more so Thursday.
One thing I'll say, it might not even get that busy until next Monday or Sunday, because a lot of spring balls end on Saturday, and guys are going to want to play, they're going to want to practice and do all those things and be able to enter their name in the transfer portal after
spring. I was just thinking about this, thinking out loud. Is spring break going to factor in any of this stuff?
Most schools just have already completed their spring
break. Yeah, so I was kind of wondering if there would be any.
Washington's done with their spring break.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing that's driving everything right now, timing-wise, Chris, is NIL. You got an offer, you're shopping it.
The other thing is that there are a few guys that have already announced that they're in the portal, and none of them were here today. So it's right now, who knows, that may change in terms of guys being in the portal, but they still need numbers here. So if it is an offensive lineman or something like that, I can't believe an offensive lineman would leave. But in case that happens, you might have situations where guys are still practicing and they're in the portal.
Well, the other thing, too, is when they need to bring in three or four offensive linemen.
At least.
At least. And those, say like they take three or four offensive linemen, all of them, if not more, are going to have to be guys that have started. They can't take guys that have no experience. They've got that.
Well, and they've also got two other guys coming in the summer. In fact, one of them was here today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Justin Hilkema was here. He's an offensive lineman from Northern California. Was it Apple Valley? I can't remember what it was. Anyway, he's
listed at 6'8", 315
or something. That's legit. I mean, he looked like he looked like a college offensive lineman.
He was one of those guys you look at and you go, who's that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, but they're going to hit the portal hard, and they don't have the offensive linemen. They're going to get them. And what are you anticipating? Three or four offensive linemen at least?
I put four a minimum.
Four a minimum, yeah.
Yeah,
because – one to two tight ends?
One tight end at least.
Running back?
One running back.
Yeah, because they really only are using three running backs right now that are alive.
Yeah. Wide receivers?
One.
Okay. Defense, interior defense?
One or two.
Edge?
One.
Linebackers?
Iffy. I don't know.
I was going to say, they've got 6 to 8 guys there, depending on... I'm telling you what, guys, not to get too sidetracked.
And just real quick, DBs, including safeties.
One corner and one or two safeties.
Okay. Yeah, because I was just going to say, as far as the linebackers go, I thought one of the guys that really had a great practice today, and I don't know if he was good on Saturday or not, but Kamori House, I thought, mm-hmm. had a couple... really big plays in the team periods. And he just looked – to me, he's like what Adam Muhammad is with these guys for the offense. Kamori House is doing the same type of work on defense in terms of just showing his athleticism, flashing from time to time. He's still learning things, but you can just tell there is a player in there.
Yeah, he definitely was getting read the riot act, though, by Bala in the position drill,
which should be fully expected.
Yeah, because he just, there was one that he made a bad read on. There was another one where he was real lackadaisical with his form, and so I was a little surprised to see it. But then he picked it up and had a sack on Damon Williams.
Yeah, and that was a great play. That was one of those classic ones where it's complete play action,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, the quarterback's trying to just bait you into a fake. And he just stayed home, and he had him dead to rights.
Yeah. Damon Williams is used to running away from guys.
No,
he wasn't able to run away from him.
No, and just real quick, too, on Damon, when he's running the ball, it just seems like the pocket is getting pushed past him, and he's seeing open room.
Yeah.
And he's deciding to go.
I think one of the things that people – I think it should be exciting to think about, but I think they also have to kind of get used to the idea, because there's been read options ever since like Browning before, but they've been zone reads, but they've been more like zone gives. We've always kind of joked about it because Browning was never going to take the ball. Like when he scored a touchdown on that at Oregon in the 70-21 game, we all joked about it when he did the point.
Yeah,
because it was so rare. It was like a one-off. Like, oh my God, he kept the ball and actually scored a touchdown untouched because he never kept the ball. Okay, what people are going to have to realize is that even though Damon Williams is going to be able to make a lot of things happen with his feet and scramble and make broken plays and turn them into big gainers and things like that, what they should really be excited about is the fact that he is going to keep the ball on some of these read zones, and he's going to be able to make some teams really pay.
Yeah.
I mean, you can just tell. You can just tell he's got a great feel for it. And his knowledge and his understanding is going to get only better and better.
Practice again on Thursday and Saturday. Thursday
3:30.
I thought I saw one where they moved it up to 3.
No, it's 3:30 on Thursday, and it's 11:00 instead of 11:30 on Saturday.
Okay, we got 11:00 on Saturday. Yeah. So,
I'm going to be late for that one. So,
bastard.
Well, just make sure you sign off on your time card on that.
Mm-hmm. So, yep, got a baseball game.
Okay. It's that time of year?
Yep.
You know what I call that. Anyways. Anyways, let's go ahead and get it wrapped up. We've got a lot of work yet to do.
Okay. You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So basically, I thought it was a good practice. Kind of, I don't want to call it boring, but it just, you know, they just, without pads, it's just you know, it is what it is. But, you know, there's no contact. The guys are running routes and doing install and all this different stuff. Still some exciting plays. It's good to see Tristan Dunn step up. Good to see a couple other guys step up and make plays. Parker Cross is snapping the ball really well. It was good to see guard Memelar continue to snap the ball well in 7-on-7. And then, you know, Denzel Boston just continues to stand out.
Were any balls on the ground today from center snaps? I didn't see any.
I didn't see any.
Okay. Saw a couple low snaps, but nothing egregious. Not compared to early practices.
Okay. Getting better.
Chris, yeah, getting better. Also, by the way, did you guys see Landon Hatchett and Guard Memelar doing the boxing in the end zone?
Yep.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to see if they'll let me do it next week.
Well, this is kind of the stuff that Penix had been talking about last season. I don't remember who the trainer is, but they got him involved in some of the boxing and mixed martial arts stuff. And you literally saw those guys doing the little fainting, and it was pretty cool. So I like that. I thought that was cool. And then also, it's so funny because they're just really touting the NFL pedigree and NFL this and pro that, be a pro, development, all that stuff. You know, you see guys like Belichick come in, and the Seahawks guys come in, and Jack Del Rio come in. Okay, it looked like they had a guest today who just was kind of self-assuming, just Brendan's dad just showed up. Dad showed up and hung out with the crowd and just kind of watched practice on his own. So I don't know if Pete Carroll addressed the team afterwards. I would assume he did. But if he didn't, I thought that was really interesting because I had no idea that Pete Carroll was at practice today.
I didn't see him.
Until I saw a picture.
I saw him right down the thing, and he was all by himself and watching practice. And I wanted to go up and say, hey, you know, say hi to him and stuff. But it's like, you know what? He's here just to watch.
Yeah, but again, as you pointed it out in the very beginning, Kim, this was very much, especially with no pads on, this was very much like kind of a cleanup, details, fundamentals, kind of getting back to it, focus more on special teams. But they ramped it up as things got along. This is kind of the quintessential dog day practice because we're literally right in the middle of spring football right now. That felt like a middle of spring ball practice.
Hey, just one thing I want you to address, Chris. One thing, we're getting to know Jed Fish a little bit and his coaching style. He seems like more of a walk around guy than getting his hands dirty out there.
I don't know if you mean. Oh well, I mean he's walking around kind of in the same way that Steve Belichick's walking around a little bit, although he's focused a lot more on the offensive side of the ball and what have you. You know, but there's a lot of coaches out there, Kim. I think he's literally just kind of doing the overall piece. And every once in a while, you'll see him, you know, high-five a guy or give a guy an attaboy. You know, he's clearly paying attention to all that stuff that's going on. I thought it was also interesting, guys. I don't know if you picked up on this because I saw Steve Belichick. They were definitely using the communications helmets today.
Didn't
notice. So
they were doing that.
Yeah,
they've been doing it every day.
Yeah, so you could definitely tell that was going on too. I'm curious to find out. Maybe on Thursday we should talk to the next coach and find out how the communication piece is going and the players, because I think that's going to be a huge kind of thing behind the scenes that could end up winning or losing games that we just kind of don't know how that thing's going to unfold.
Yeah, and just for fans who are used to been with us for a long time, subscribers, the way it was with Kalen DeBoer, it was Kalen and the two coordinators on Mondays. And then we could, during the week, where they had a day for coaches, and we could request multiple coaches and multiple players, either offense or defense, but we're limited here now. We get one coach and two players, and we can't request people, and that's all we're getting right now. We'll see if that changes. But
it is interesting. I mean, we are obviously talking to new people, whether they're just younger guys that have come up or guys that have transferred in. So, like today, you talked to Vinny Sanceri and then also talked to Dyson McCutcheon, Jordan Shaw. I don't know if we've ever spoken to Dyson.
I have, yeah.
Okay.
Good kid.
But the thing is that he's worth talking to now because he is probably their number one nickel right now and is doing a great job. But they're rotating guys into that. Josh Shaw is doing that. I saw Leroy Butler playing some nickel today. So they're, you know, I'll tell you what. Everyone's talking about they got to get this guy from the portal, that guy from the portal, and there is no doubt there are certain positions that are just dying for portal. But I'll tell you, DB, they seem like they've got some bodies, and I think that there's going to be some legit competition this fall.
Yeah, the portal's picking up. Today's the first day it was open, so expect the portal just over the next few days to really pick up, and we'll have it all here at dogman.com. Scott, how many stories do you have pre-written?
Well, including the one Chris sent me, four.
Okay, there we go.
And also, real quick, we've got a promotion going on right now too, to go hand in hand with the portal.
And 60% off annual subscription. So,
and if you're a monthly, month to month subscriber, you can use the same deal to upgrade to a 60% off yearly.
Yeah, go ahead and do that. One other thing, just touch bases real quick on basketball. Looks like they've got, I think it's Jace Butler coming in for a visit. He's a point guard out of Illinois. Still working on getting some more information on some more visitors that are going to be in. I'm expecting Tony Bland to be added to the coaching staff, and he was a really sought after. And I don't want to get into his whole background, but he was a highly sought after guy as of today. So a lot of people have been reaching out trying to get Tony Bland, and it looks like Danny Sprinkle has secured the services of him.
And the reason why is because, based on the stuff that happened to him years ago, the NCAA put a show cause penalty on him so that he could literally not coach until April 15th, 2024.
So everything he got in trouble for is legal now.
Apparently, yes.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually very legal.
Yeah. So just keep an eye. There's some basketball stuff going to be happening in the next week or so. So just keep an eye on that. So for all of us at Dogman.com, I'm Kim Grinnells along with Chris Fetters and Scott Eklund. Go Dogs.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.